So he asked a friend to go with him, and that was good. Okay? So we're sitting in the hall, and Paul leans across right at the start of the meeting. He says, if you get anything in your writings, you think you could share it time long. Remember that? And I thought, oh. And immediately I had something. I'm going to hold that back till the end. That's something. So this is what I'm bringing you, okay? I'm bringing you what I heard in New Wine and what I heard in the trumpet call. When I get to the trumpet day, I'll set the scene a bit with God's help, right? So the New Wine, they said, we begin meetings by welcoming the Lord and the Holy Spirit. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus says, I am here and I am welcoming you. So, as I've seen in Siloam before, I've gone places, I've come here, you're the first to catch it, right? And Judith got up and said, Lord, you are here. So I thought, right, we're on track, you are here. Now listen to these things that they spoke out at New Wine. It is over Wales. There is nothing like the local church when it is working right. Its beauty is indescribable. Its power is breathtaking. Its potential is unlimited. To leaders, you need to focus. Not on their own passions, not on other people's demands, and not just to respond to crisis. They need to do the job, attention to detail, love the people, and love the word. And then he said, how do you hear the Lord? My ears pricked. How do you hear the Lord? You listen. You learn, you watch, and then you do. And then you know you're doing the things of God. You listen, you learn, you watch, and you do. Okay? He said something, and I said to Paul, I hope this always sticks with me. A natural baby, healthy baby, is born with all its faculties. It doesn't get one eye when it's born and grows another one later. When it's born, it doesn't know its mother. It's heard its mother's voice inside of it, but it doesn't know its mother. But as it responds to the loving care of this mother, it starts to grow, and it grows out of love, love of the mother. And so it is with us who are born again. You grow, and that was Maria's prayer, Lord, we want to grow. You grow as you respond to the love of God. You get to know God. You reckon your old life, you're dead to that. And you begin to walk in the Spirit. Now, we know this is all scripture. But before you can walk, you must be filled. You've got to be filled with the Spirit. You can't walk the Spirit life unless you've first been filled. And so he said it's essential for the church. When a person comes to faith, the next thing they ask them, are you filled? Do you know you're filled? Because otherwise they're stumbling around. They can't do the walk. And so everybody's trying to help them up because they haven't been filled. They're born again. They haven't been filled. So, we had, over it all, we had 2 days of encouragement, fellowship, and refreshing. And I brought a bucket of water from New Wine Cymru to pour out here, as I always do. I go anywhere, my first thing is. And I was asked to share something else this morning in Siloam. That was quite interesting. In DCF, and as I was walking forward, I remembered Ruth, my little one. If I gave Ruth something, And one of the other ladies had been to the new wine with us, and she shared lovely what she had. It was really lovely. And as I was walking forward, I thought, God, that was good. But I could hear Ruth. I'd give something to Ruth, and she'd say, okay, Mum. So I stepped forward, and the first thing I said was, Kim received that new wine, but it was brand new, Sue. And I said, and I received as well. And that's what it's like, isn't it? And I received as well. So now on to the trumpet call. That was a trial and a half because the car burnt out on the road and the person that was taking us said, stopped off for a coffee at 10 o'clock and said, oh, we've got plenty of time, so it takes half hour to get there. And then we met this car. So that was 45 minutes. And I am the most impatient person when I got my headset on something. I wanted to be there for 11 o'clock. I wanted to be there for the start. I wanted to hear the first words coming out of the men's mouth. I wanted to be there. And it was 10:45. And I'm saying, Lord, and these people are kind enough to take me, but I'm going, oh, Lord, knowing what I appreciate how Paul is particular about time. So we got there late. And the first thing they said was, the trumpet call was started on Numbers 10, when Moses stood on the hill and he had Aaron and Hur come and hold his arms up in the battle. Nobody can stand on their own in the battle. They get tired. So he stood up, but he said this, keep the name of the Lord on the hillside. Heaven's order will break out in the valley. And immediately I was up the garth with a couple of you and a couple of others. And we were up there and Paul is working with the Lord's help to get that cross raised over the garth. Keep the names Lord on the names, the Lord's name on the hillside. And then order will break out in the valley, the Lord's order. And that really chucked the beans. I thought, yeah, we're all right with this. We had a surprise phone call in the week from a man called Dudley. And he said, I had intercessors in Wales. I said, yes. He said, we've been to Pembroke. We've been here and there. We want to come to Taftswell. And it's been put to us that your house maybe could be a base for us. Because we've heard about you going to go up the bath with the cross. And we would like to go up there and pray about this cross, you know, get it up there. It's all the name of Jesus. Now, close your eyes and pray. I can do this. I want to set the scene. On the stage, there were about 1,500 people there, all hopping and dancing and, you know, ready to pray. That's what it's all about. But they set a pattern, right? And they said the pattern is this. We have five declarations to make. And how we're going to do it is there will be the sound of the trumpet. That's the call to battle. That's look up, the Lord is coming. That's listen, you know. And so this man on a silver trumpet let out the most amazing sound, okay. And close your eyes. Put yourself in that room of 1,500 people. And imagine this going out over Britain. Declare the supremacy of Christ. Release fresh confidence in preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And if you want to declare that in the church, 1 Colossians 15-20. Get together as a group of you and declare those words in this place, the supremacy of Christ based on the scripture. And the preaching of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, it's the only thing that brings salvation. It's the only thing that changes life. We can change people's circumstances by giving them food bank and helping them, but you won't bring salvation any other way. So, that's the first one. Then came the next long trouble. I can tell you what, the goose pimples on your hands, you're like, oh, you know. So here's another one. Close your eyes. a move of God upon the youth of our nation. We called on God for it. This would go on for ages after the call had gone out. 1,500 people would pray it. You could hear the voices everywhere calling on God for the youth of our nation. An outpouring over Europe. Now what you've got to remember is that a prophetic word, and I have spoken it in this place so many times, God said, Wales is his window on Europe and the world beyond. Now the people generally weren't aware of that word because I was carrying it in my heart and I have been for Wales for a long time, and I've said it here time and time again in a prayer time. So what we in Wales are saying is, God, open your window. Wales is God's window on Europe and the world beyond. And when the Holy Spirit comes down with this watering that we know is on its way, so many people are coming from the nations because they're stirred up for what Wales has got. And so pouring on Europe. And this is the fifth one. Now listen to this, because this is, wow, it's huge. For the healing of the church, so that it will be filled with Calvary's victory. Now, years ago, we used to sing a song called Heal Our Nation, Pour Out Your Spirit on This Land. And I couldn't sing that song. I never did sing that song. I used to sing crying, heal your body, heal your body, pour out your spirit on us, Lord. Because the scripture tells us that the body of Christ is for the healing of the nation. God has to put his own house in order before he can heal our nation. And as he heals us fully to be that local church, working right, in all its beauty, indescribable, the power is breathtaking and the potential is unlimited. Don't you want that written over the doors of this church? Potential unlimited. And then I had the word that I had immediately. Paul said, if you don't think of silence, why didn't you share it? Now that's my diary within my diary. And I said to Paul last night, I was a bit ratty really. Because you said, but if you don't think of silence, so I said I've been keeping a diary within my diary for 2 days now. That's what I had. But this is what I had the moment he said, if you get anything for silo, write it down. I think it's for me to say it after Paul preaches. He thought I was just going to do the whole thing, but I'm not. I'm going to wait for it, sit on it, let him preach, because I come to hear what he has to say. And at the end of it, God willing, I'll bring it for all of you.
Now, following is that all right? I was going to ask you, what did I speak on the last time I was here? And the answer is, yeah. Good start, Victoria. Good start. I gave you a concertina of verses. And the first picture that I drew for you was the greatness of God. And we've sung about the majesty of God this evening. We've considered the fact that he is here. But the God who is here is Almighty God. And that's where we started a couple of weeks ago. But we... Is that right? Or is it the wrong way? That'll do. Then we went on to say, but that God, who is Almighty God, wishes to know you to know him as Father. That's where we stand. Now, you may be saying, well, why is this guy come with pink socks today and shorts and a t-shirt? Shirley certainly challenged the socks. That's been a bad luck. I consciously thought, shall I get changed before I come this evening? But the reason I didn't change is because what I wanted to talk about was moving out as God's children, hearing from him. And really, this is how you need to be. Not wearing pink socks and shorts, but being yourself. Because what we can do so often is come before a congregation of this sort in a smart shirt, tie, and suit. And what is being said just to you. But I am very genuine in saying, what I need is the same as what you need. And so there is a reflection that I want to... express that has come out of the last couple of days at New Wine. But there's another issue that I want to put to you first. Now, in Psalm 103, I was going to read it all, but I won't read all of that now. I'll read the first couple of verses. And that says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. You know those words. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Those are the word benefits there is forget not all his characteristics. Who forgives all your iniquities and who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. If you were to read those words in the light of how we were looking at God a few weeks ago, you would say, what, that God that is that big, that almighty, in his sovereign position over all of this world, is still providing me as an individual with these expressions of his characteristics. He has forgiven all of my iniquities. He has healed all of my diseases. He has redeemed my life from destruction. When later we share communion here, that's what we're thinking of, isn't it? We're looking back to that time when Jesus died, not in one sense for the world at large, but for Maria. For each one of us, he died that once, and that was enough. Because we have seen the benefit to us of the way in which Jesus died that once and for all. And certainly I was concocting an email today about this cross on the Garth. What I want up on the Garth Mountain, on the skyline, not hidden away beyond what we can see from the valleys, I want to see something that will remind the people of the one who lived historically, who died historically, who rose again historically, but who lives in 2015. And at some point, that same person is coming back. We'd like it to be 2015. That's what we'd like. But we know it'll be some point in the future. But it's a fact. Now, it's that same God that we're looking at here with all of these blessings for us. But what I wanted to do was look at another verse in greater detail later in that psalm. And in just in 5 minutes, I'm going to talk about that, and then I want to talk about a different scenario altogether. In verse 20, it says this: "Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure." Now, one of the things that Sue said, I was aware of the general content of what she was going to say this evening. In fact, in one way, I should have been aware of all that she was going to say this evening if she'd stuck to her script. But she didn't. She went a little bit off script and said a little bit more than I was anticipating. But it fits in precisely with what I'm talking about here. Because one of the things she said is, we need to listen to what God is saying. And that's very important. Now, this verse 20 is talking about the angels. Now, these are the beings of which you and I cannot imagine in the presence of God, and they are doing his will. They are worshipping God right now. They are listening to what he's got to say. And verse 21 goes on to say that they are following his ministries. You ministers of his who do his pleasure. These are active beings. Now, I wanted to think of, from what standpoint do these angels come? These are sinless beings in the very presence of God, and they're ones that have that opportunity of blessing and worshipping God. Now, have we got more of a right to bless and worship God than they have? They're in the presence of God. That's right. But you and I have been redeemed. You and I have been the subject of the sacrifice of God's Son. So we have more reason to praise God than they have. So if that's the case, and we say to ourselves, right, we look at the angels, yes, you're doing a great job, you're singing really well up there, I should be singing better than them. Because I owe my very life to God and his plan of salvation. So whereas in verse 20 it says, they bless the Lord in worship and in real service there, they do his word, well, surely I should want to do his word because he has done everything for me. So I should be listening to what he's got to say, because in verse 20 it goes on, they're heeding the voice of God. Heeding the voice of God's word. And that's what I should be doing. I should be listening. I should be listening for that movement of God in my life. Now, there were a number of occasions when the speakers were having words of knowledge over the gathered people there. There must have been 800 people there, I suppose. And these words of knowledge were coming from the guy at on this platform. Very, very precise. I was amazed at some of the detail. One, I'll only give you the one. And that was, there is someone here who at the age of 3 or 4 saw something that impacted her life in a disastrous way and has remained with her throughout. That's pretty detailed. And he's looking out on this congregation of 800 souls, and this one woman stands. walks to the front. Is that you? Yes. There was another occasion when he said, there is someone here who has a pain down their left side, the left side of their face, and they believe that it is caused, no, they have, it is there as a result of their sister. And a woman, elderly woman, came up, stood at the side of the platform, and said, that is me. Well, what do you mean? Well, I get terrible migraines, and I've had them, like migraine pain, I've had them all my life. Must have been from the moment of my birth, when I was born, but my twin sister died. And she carried that anguish with her for the whole of her life. She felt guilty that her sister had died. She had lived, her sister had died. Now, many of the people there were saying, you should be listening to what God is saying. Not necessarily in that prophetic way, as these people were showing you, but the listening, feeling the touch of God, the compassion of God that's going to be expressed to you in relation to other people that are around you, so that you're able to operate in His will. Well, a bit like these angels then. They're listening to what God has got to say, and verse 21 ends, and they do it. You and I should be doing it. Well, as I read this verse in particular, but in the psalm as a whole, the psalm as a whole is saying, I owe God a great deal. And right in the middle of it is this one verse that is saying, and the angels are doing an awful lot about it, but I've got more reason to be doing it than they have. So it should spur me on to want to do more. And certainly the only time that I went out for ministry whilst I was there over those 2 days, and there was almost like an altar call after every speaker, what I realized within myself is there is a weakness in me of boldness and courage to actually step out on these occasions when I feel God is calling me to do something. That is a real weakness in me. And so I went out and a guy prayed for me, and I've got to now accept that blessing from the Lord that that's now what He has given me. And I'm ready to move out in that. Will I have that same degree of commitment as these angels? But I should have more. I challenge each of you. You should have more than those angels too. Right? You are saved, and you're only saved through the sacrifice of someone else. But someone who was so magnificently holy, he shouldn't have died. But he's given his life to you. That's one thing. I wanted to leave that with you. If I had a title for this, it would be Facing Your Giants, Part 2, as you heard Part 1 this morning. In a very large number of occasions recently, and this will only take about this, there's been references to Matthew chapter 14 and Peter stepping out of the boat and walking in the water. We've heard a number of times in a variety of different locations and different scenarios. And it was mentioned again. So I looked at it again this morning when Sue said to me, so how long have you been thinking about this sermon for tonight? I said, about an hour. And that was this morning, because Nisi had only got in touch with me about Wednesday, and I have hardly been home since Wednesday. Anyway, so this morning I was looking at Matthew chapter 14. And I was looking at it because there was one speaker spoke on this particular incident in such a comedic way. We were rolling in the aisles when he was talking about it. And so that has stuck in my head. But something quite fresh has come to me now. This isn't what he said. I'll tell you that. Listen to the tapes. It's not what he said. Can you imagine? The disciples have seen Jesus feed 5,000 people with just a couple of fish and a couple of loaves. The people at large, the 5,000, would not have known where that food came from. Because all they were seeing was food being offered to them by the stewards, the disciples that were doing that work. They didn't know that just a few minutes before, this was a couple of loaves and a couple of fish. So they have an excuse for their ignorance. Right? Not the disciples. The disciples had all been clamoring around Jesus saying, well, what, how are we going to feed him? How are we going to feed him? We haven't got anything. Oh, we have got a couple of fish and a couple of loaves. And then Jesus blesses it. And there's enough. No, so the disciples saw that for themselves. They had experienced that. Then Jesus makes them go into the boat. And one of the stresses the guy said was, Jesus made them go. He didn't say, if you like, some of you can stay with me. Some of you can go out of the boat. If you want, stay here if you want to. He didn't say that. You go in the boat. I'll see you on the other side. He made them go in the boat. So they're out in the boat now. These experienced people out on the sea, they're in, it doesn't say that their life is threatened by the scenario. It doesn't say it. They suddenly became fearful when they saw Jesus walking on the water. That's what it says. You see, they saw something that they thought was totally impossible. That was when they feared. They weren't frightened of their situation. Jesus was walking on the water. Someone was walking on the water. And they were fearful. And then Peter says, if that's you out there, call me out to you. Okay? And he steps out of the boat onto the water. You do need to listen to the tape of this fellow telling the story, because it's fantastic. But anyway, so Peter steps out onto the water. And he walks to Jesus. Now, in my head, I've got two completely different pictures. And one of those is that Jesus is about 50 yards away. And Peter stepped out of the boat, and he's walking on the water. And as he is getting closer to Jesus, but not yet up with Jesus, he hasn't reached Jesus. Everybody says, and he took his eyes off Jesus and he looked at the waves. Now, just imagine that I'm looking at you, Jude, and I can see everything that Maria and Victoria are doing. Out of my peripheral vision, I can see all of that. So when Peter's looking right Jesus right in the eye and he's walking towards him, what he is seeing is something bigger than Jesus. He can see everything here. He can see waves here. And that's when he takes his eyes off Jesus. But I don't now go along with the idea that it was as he was walking along to Jesus. Not like that. No, it was something, he saw something outside the peripheral. And what he saw in his peripheral vision was just bigger than Jesus at that time. Now that's one scenario. Jesus is still at some distance away. But what about another scenario? That he actually gets all the way up to Jesus. And Jesus is there, as close as Maria. And then he's a bit confident. Oh, look. Look at this. And he's gone. You see, sometimes we can be doing everything God wants us to do and we're looking a little bit too wide. Let's just be more channeled in what we should be doing. What God has called us to do. We've heard him say, do this, not that. Don't be worried about that, which you may think is bigger than me. What's the other scenario is, it's okay, I know I'm at God's will here, you know, this is no problem at all. I'm rather close to him, you know. And, then, in your pride, in your confidence, in your own ability, you then turned your back away from Jesus, and you started to sink. Now, in both of those scenarios, one where he's still 50 yards away from Jesus, and another one when he's right up close to Jesus, all it says is, Jesus reached out. It didn't matter that Jesus was 50 yards away a second earlier. Jesus was there when he needed him. When he called out to him and said, no, I can't manage on my own. I can't, but you can save me, even if you're 50 yards away. Or even if you're right up close to you. And then it says, Jesus lifted him up. And then can you imagine? Peter is back, walking on the water, going back to the boat. You see, that's renewal, and that's refreshment, That's which you've finally said, I can't manage on my own. I am now totally reliant. And one of the other guys was talking about Peter. It came up so endless numbers of times. And he was saying, and so as they went back, hand in hand, back to the boat, Peter was secure. Peter was making progress. And, in a rather comedic sort of way, he was sort of saying, none of you guys in there, came out here, but I've done it. And I'm saying that's a bit too much comedy there. But he was right. This is impetuous Peter, not the disciple John, whom Jesus loved. This was Peter who couldn't control himself in what he did. But he was the one who said, I'll give it a go. Weak as he was. He may have been a big fella, quite butch. He could handle himself in everything. But we know that he stumbles and falls so many times that he can't do that. But it was Jesus who said, right, and there, I'm right at your side here now to lift you out. And we're going to walk back together. So I'm going to show you, you can be restored to a position of power here over the elements. You're not going to fall again, Peter, unless you let me go. Take your eyes off me again. So what I'm saying to you is we can face issues that are far bigger than what we consider to be normally possible in our own situation, provided we're relying totally on him. There are just some verses I wanted to leave with you. It says in Proverbs 3:28, the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared. So if you can accept that this God who loves you so much that he gave his son for you has said that he will not let you go, he will always be there, that is supposed to build up our confidence in him. And that is how faith grows, isn't it? You go a couple of steps with Jesus and he proves that he is capable, which encourages you to go a few more steps and finding that he is even more capable. And that's how we should be living from day to day. We should be capable of facing all those giants that are ahead of us, provided we're in God's will and we're doing his will, his way, in his time. And that all depends on us listening to him and making sure that when we hear him, we're ready to do his will. And do it out of such love, not just gratitude. Gratitude is a lovely thing when it's expressed honestly and from the heart. I've got to tell you, I was in tears this week on Wednesday. Pick up my grandsons on Wednesday, sit in the car park, put my alarm on the phone, and that's going to wake me up at 25 past 3 after I've had a little sleep in the car. And my elder grandson, 11, always comes, puts his hand through the window, beeps the horn of the car, or bangs me on the chest to wake me up. And this time, he did so, and there's a sweet shop across the road, and he said, Papa, I've already been to the sweet shop. And I thought, oh, that's okay, because he's allowed 11. He's allowed to come out of school on his own. This is 8-year-old, he's got to take it. And he said, and I brought you this. And he brought me a cheap, chewy sweet. And at first, I was going to say, no, I'm not going to have that because I'm a diabetic. But he said, I brought it for you. So, because how many weeks are there in a year, Papa? He said, 52. He said, every week you buy sweets. Pounds worth of sweets for me and pounds worth of sweets for Tom. That's £104, he said. Thank you. And he's giving me this little stick. And then he said, and sometimes you take us to McDonald's. So it's more than £104. And I said, that's right, I said. And so he was giving me this chew stick out of an appreciation of his grandfather's generosity. More than that, when we went back up to the school, and Tom eventually, he's 8, comes out of his class, that's the first thing he said to Tom. You know, Papa gives us more than £104 a year. I tell you, my heart melted. Imagine what God, how he will feel if he sees us being truly appreciative of what he's done. You know, that's what he wants us to do. And that's all I want to leave with you. Thank you very much. That's the end of that. Good night to you all.